Revelation 11, verses 16 and 18. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldst give reward unto thy servants the prophets and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldst destroy them which destroy the earth. The time of the dead, it says in verse 18. The 24 elders, they know what the seventh trump means. Their words in verses 17 and 18 tell us they know what it is going to bring upon the earth, what it is going to usher in into the world below. Now remember, they're in heaven, but they know what is going to take place on the earth accompanying this seventh trump. They not only know what it means, they rejoice at what it means. They rejoice at the prospect. They are glad, and they worship and adore God who is going into the world to judge it. And in this vision, we are hearing them, verses 17 and 18. So not so much to see, except in verse 16, which we've already seen. They fell down prostrate off their seats before God and worshipped him. Not so much to see, but plenty to hear. We're hearing what they're saying, and they know what the end is going to be like. And they're giving us a little description of the end. Kind of a cameo, a short scene, a small figure of that great day. And they call it the time. It's the time. That's the name that they give to it. I want to focus your attention, first of all, upon those two words in verse 18. It is the time. That sums it all up. Now, this word time occurs in the book of the Revelation about seven times. It occurs at the start of the book, chapter 1. It occurs at the end of the book, chapter 22. Chapter 1, verse 3, it says, The time is at hand. Is at hand. Chapter 22, verse 10, the very same expression at the end of the book, verse 10, The time is at hand. It's at hand. It's coming. It's near. But now, with the blowing of the seventh trumpet, it is the time. It's not at hand anymore. It's not coming. It's not near. It's the time. The time of the dead. And here, right in the center of the book, and I remember there are 22 chapters. We're coming to the end of chapter 11. Halfway through the book, we're told it's the time. This is where the world is heading to. This is what we all are fast approaching. The time. Time has to be set, you know. The time of our meeting is set, 8 o'clock. Time of any meeting is set. The time of your birth was set. The time of your death is set. The Bible talks about the set time. Time is set, brethren and sisters. Only God can do this. We set the time for our meetings. We set the time for this appointment and that appointment. We don't even fully control it. It may come, it may not. But God sets the time for everything in his calendar. And he sees that the appointments are kept. And this is the time that the world is heading to, the time of the end. God has set it. The 24 elders know this, that the time has come. Not only the set time, but the time that God has predicted by Scripture, the time that God has promised through the prophets. Before the Lord, for he cometh.
He cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. All the time it's predicted, and now it's here. God is faithful to his promises about this time. And the elders are saying the time has come. God is faithful. The 24 know it. The time of what? Can we be more specific? What kind of things are going to be associated with this time? Well, it is the time of the dead. That's what the text says. Before had been the time of the living. But now it's a time of the dead. It's a dead's time. What does that mean? Well, firstly, it must have reference to the resurrection of the dead. It's their time. It's their time to come forth. It's their time to get out of the graves. This present age is the time of dying. This is the time of going to the grave. This is the time of filling up the cemeteries. This is the time whenever everybody passes on. But the time of the dead is coming. The time for all the dead is coming. Now it is appointed unto men to die. Now the graves are filling and the dead are multiplying. And there they lay in their graves until it's their time to come forth. It's not their time yet. We only have to go into a cemetery to find that out. If you've ever walked into a cemetery, what do you find? You find it still, it's silent. We don't expect people to arise yet because it's not the time of the dead yet. But I tell you this, when this time of the dead comes, there'll be hyperactivity in all the cemeteries of the earth. We don't expect people to arise yet. It's not the time. It is true that for the Lord Jesus, his time is past. He is risen. But he is, I remind you, the first fruits. But there's another time, an afterward time. And Paul refers to this in his great chapter in Corinthians chapter 15 on the resurrection of the dead. He reminds us that Christ is now risen. But he is the first fruits of them that slept. Christ, the first fruits. Afterward. There's an afterward time. Afterward, they that are Christ's at his coming. Then comes the end. The end time. Christ, the first fruits. But then there's the end time whenever the rest of the dead will be raised. The time of the dead. We're talking about resurrection. The Lord Jesus also referred to the time of the dead. He called it the hour. The hour when all in the grave shall hear. That's the time he's talking about. The elders are singing about that time. The hour. The hour's come. The hour when all that are in the graves. What do you call all that are in the graves? The dead. It's the same phrase with different words. And all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. The dead, the time of the dead is come. With the seventh trump. Paul says we're not to be ignorant concerning the dead. He says, brethren, I wouldn't have you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For the Lord himself shall descend with a shout. He'll not prevent them which sleep. He'll descend with a shout and with the voice of the archangel. This is it. This is the time. The trump of God, Paul says, this is it, the seventh trump, the last trump, with the trump of God, and the dead
shall rise. So it's a reference to the resurrection of the dead, the time. But then secondly, it's also the time of the divine wrath. You have that there, verse 18, the nations were angry, but that's nothing to God's wrath. The nations can get angry, people can get angry, men can get angry. We face our anger. It's nothing to get too shaken about. But the divine wrath, that's something to be concerned about. So the nations, let the nations be angry, but this is something to be concerned about. Thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead. So you'll see it's the same time. The wrath has come, and the time of the dead. It's the same time. The divine wrath is at present at the resurrection of the dead. Notice that the coming of the divine wrath is simultaneous with the time of the dead. So the trumpet ushers in the awesome and majestic God. Verse 17. Because the 24 elders said, O Lord God, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. He's taken to him his great power. Do you see that? Now that cannot mean that he begins to take it as if he never had it before. What? Has God not got power? Now all of a sudden he takes it up? That's not what it means. It's not that out of weakness, all of a sudden, he has become strong and has taken his power. No, that's not its meaning. He is eternally almighty. O Lord God Almighty, he's already that. Thou hast taken to thee thy great power. So he's already almighty. It's not that he's taken something he hasn't already got. That's not the meaning. But now what is happening is, now with the last trump, he is seen. He's seen to be mighty. That's different. Everybody sees it now. Everybody's terrified by it now. Because they've never seen it before. It looks like something new to the sinner. As if God has suddenly awakened and taken to him his great power. The sinner hasn't seen it before. But now he's seeing it. And that's what it means. He's taken to him his great power. We see it now. You know, people have said there's no God. And people have said God is dead. Or perhaps they have said God is weak and God is feeble and God doesn't care. But you see, in this day, in this time, nobody believes that anymore. He's arisen. He manifests his terrible majesty. And everybody sees it. And this is all they can say. Just what the 24 elders are saying. Oh, he's taken to him his great power now. You know, the church has prayed in this book. We saw that earlier on in chapter 6. They cried with a loud voice, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? The church prays, How long, Lord? When are you going to take your great power? When are you going to come in wrath and vengeance? Isaiah the prophet says, Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake, as in the ancient days, as in the generations of old. Art thou not he that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Awake. This is what the church is praying. Awake, Lord. Where's your power? Well, the time, he's awaked. He's awake now. He's put on strength now. Now is the time of the end, that they see that the Lord indeed is king over the earth. Remember Pharaoh? He once said, and he could say it, and nobody could stop him saying it, and he seemed to get away with saying it. Who is the Lord? Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I don't know the Lord. I don't have to obey his voice. I'm not going to let Israel go. That was Pharaoh. He was big. He was hard. He was tough. But a day came whenever God arose and he awaked and the Lord showed him otherwise. And God put on his great strength. And Pharaoh saw it. And he could have said something. Oh, the God of Israel has taken to him his great power. So sinners will see it. Such a day was to Pharaoh a day of wrath, a day of anger, the day of the Lord. And that's what this time is. It's a time of the wrath of God, the day of wrath, the time of divine indignation. We saw it at the end of the seals. You remember the cycles of the seals? How there was a great earthquake and the sun became black as sackcloth. The heaven departed as a scroll. It was the end. And the islands were moved, the mountains. Remember all the kings and the great men and the rich and everybody? What did they say? Fall on us. Hide us. Hide us from him that sits on the throne, him that reigns now. He's taken to him his great power. He's taken to him his throne and he reigns now. Hide us from him and from his wrath. They see it now. And this is the time the 24 elders are talking about. The great day of his wrath has come. And who's able to stand? So it's a time of divine wrath. But then thirdly, it's the time when the dead shall come to judgment. Because it says there, on the time of the dead, that they should be judged. It's the time of the judgment. It's appointed unto men once to die. After this, the judgment. So that everybody's got an appointment to die. But after everybody's died, there's the appointed judgment. Now is the time of the dead when they come to judgment. It's judgment day. It's a time of divine wrath that accompanies the raising of the dead. And that raising of the dead is not an end in itself. No. The raising of the dead is in order to bring the risen dead to the judgment, that the wrath of God might be seen to be just, and that the mouths of all the sinners may be stopped. And so God's wrath is seen in the final judgment. It's a time of judgment. Remember how, well, we haven't got to 20 yet, but we did speak on it before, on the great white throne in Revelation 20. Him that sat on the throne, and what did John say? I saw the dead. There it is again, the time of the dead. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And all the sea gave up the dead. There it is. It's the same time. So the time of the dead that they should be judged. This is it, the judgment day. So it's a time of the divine wrath, the time of the resurrection, the time of the judgment. But then fourthly, it is the time also of the rewarding of the righteous. Do you see how the apostle continues when he describes the 24 elders saying, the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldst give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great. So it's not only about wrath against sinners. It's not all about wrath. Yes, for the rejecters of Christ, it is. All the enemies of the gospel are judged. But among the dead are also friends and faithful servants of Christ. They also come to judgment, but they're to be rewarded. So it's the time has come, the time of the dead, the time of divine wrath, the time to judgment, and the time of reward. All with the seventh trump. And the Lord Jesus has constantly reminded us about the reward. You remember all the letters to the seven churches in chapters 2 and 3? Every one of them had a promise, didn't it, of a reward if they were faithful.
And the Lord will keep his word to faithfulness. And he'll reward. You remember how he said in the Sermon on the Mount about the people of God when they're persecuted, rejoice and be exceeding glad. Great is your reward in heaven. You might get the pat on the back of men. That doesn't matter. Great's your reward in heaven. So persecuted they the prophets which were before you. At the end of the book, chapter 22, verse 12, Revelation, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. So it's a time of rewards. And we see here that what God is preparing for his people, that thou shouldst give reward. Oh, now they see the benefit of being patient. Now they see the benefit of having been faithful. Now they see the benefit of having suffered and not turned into the wrong path because of it. They get the reward. Well done, good and faithful servant. Notice how the righteous are described. They don't just say that thou shouldst give reward unto the saints or the righteous. The elders aren't satisfied with one description. They have to say, give reward unto thy servants, the prophets unto the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great. So it's quite a wordy description of those being rewarded. Now, as you look at this description, the division seems to be mainly threefold. And the breakdown to me seems to be the prophets, the saints, and them that fear God's name. And then there's a further subdividing, and I believe it's a subdividing of them that fear God's name. There's a subdividing them into the small and great. He has to add that, the elders. Now the name servants, God's servants, that thou shouldst give reward unto thy servants, I believe the word servants there, which is a word for slaves, I believe that this word servants is applied to the term the prophets and the saints. The prophets and the saints are God's servants, the slaves. The Lord gives a special place to his prophets. They're unique. The prophets in the church stand apart. And the 24 elders recognize this. It's not just that the Lord will give the reward unto his servants, the saints, but no, there has to be a wee department for the prophets, because they especially were faithful. They were unique. They were given unique gifts. They were given a unique calling very often. You know how Ezekiel was called, and you know how Isaiah was called, and you know how Moses was called. Those are extraordinary calls. Ministers don't get calls like that today, no matter what they may tell you. We're just ordinarily called in the providence of God. These are miraculous, almost supernatural calls that the prophets had. And they were given the gift of inspiration. Very important people in the church. They were able to say, thus saith the Lord, the mouthpieces of God. And they were faithful servants. What would we have done if the prophets hadn't have been faithful? Where would we be? Where would the church be if they hadn't have been faithful? And God recognizes it. And the 24 elders recognize that prophets were faithful. They'll be rewarded. And so we have a great debt to the prophets for the Holy Scriptures. And they'll be rewarded. Isaiah, who was sawn asunder, and all the other prophets who were martyred. Many of them were martyred and they suffered hard. Ah, now's the day of their reward. And their name first. The prophets. But those outside the prophetic office are saints. Now, I know that there are some people who use this
to say that saints is a subcategory in the church, like the Church of Rome. You know, there are prophets and there are saints and there are those who fear God's name. As if the saints are a wee section like the prophets, a wee special section, there's only certain saints. Well, that's not what this verse means. There's the prophets, God's servants, and then there's the rest of them, the saints. Now, the prophets are saints too, but their unique faithfulness is rewarded and recognized and rewarded. And all of them are God-fearing. God-fearing. This is why they're rewarded, because they're God-fearing. Blessed is the man that fears God. The elders have to add something, small and great. And I think that's a unique subdivision of the God-fearing, the category of all the righteous that fear God. They are described as two groups, small and great. And I think probably the small is greater. There are not many great, not many noble, but there are some. But the small make up the most part of the church of Jesus Christ. The elders know their Psalter. This is where they're getting this from. Psalm 115. He will bless them that fear the Lord, small and great. They know the Psalms. They sung them when they were on earth. They've imbibed the spirit of them. And now here they break into this harmonious singing. And again they're saying, the reward them that fear the Lord, small and great. They can't leave that out. They see it. Not just the great. Not just the great prophets. Not just the great reformers. Not just the great preachers and the public figures. The men and women who go down in the annals of church history who you can read about. The great. And there may be hundreds of them, thousands of them, all the names in the church history books. But the millions of them are the small. The housewife, the factory worker, the mother in the home, the poor, the obscure, the unknown. The vast part of the church is small. Ah, God doesn't miss out even the little widow woman who gives her two mites. He rewards the small. What was that? It wouldn't even be noticed except the Lord saw it. The small. You know, there are plenty of faithful people, you know. They don't go into the limelight. They're not in office. They're not prominent. But they love the Lord. They just are faithful. They go and do their business and do their work. Live a life of honesty and God honoring. The Lord notes it. The vast part of the church is small. Just think of the assemblies. Aren't there plenty of small assemblies? Just two or three? That doesn't matter in Judgment Day. The Lord rewards the small ones too, just as much as the large and the great ones. The little maid. You remember the little maid in the Bible? The sick and the shut-in. Who just love the Lord and read their Bible and pray and hope and trust in Jesus. What did the poet say? In Lander's door I may be poor, my place unknown, my name obscure. Of this I have the witness sure. Oh, bless the Lord, I've Jesus, the small. The 24 elders just could not leave that out. That's us tonight. Just a small assembly. Just a small band. But the Lord sees. The Lord knows. You're faithful. You love Him. You're here in your seat. You're in your place. The Lord's going to reward you. And then also, it's a time of the destruction of the ungodly. What does it say there in verse 18 again? Thy wrath has come, the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldst give reward unto thy servants the prophets and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great. And here it is, the last point. It's the time that thou shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. That's a description of sinners. And this time of the dead is a time whenever God is going to come again in the judgment, and he's going to destroy all the ungodly. Why is he going to destroy them? Because they are destroyers. Destroy them that destroyed the earth. They're in league with the devil. It's not what the devil did. He destroyed the earth. He brought sin into the world, didn't he? And he destroyed the earth. Look at the world. That's what he did. That's what Adam did. When he followed him. Sinners are destroyers of the earth. They're in league with the devil. And they're going to be destroyed. They'll reap what they sowed. The devil will be destroyed. The wicked will be destroyed. And God will destroy them at the time of the end. And this seventh trump just blasts that truth out. You know, these 24 elders are in heaven. And that's where we have to keep our eyes, brethren and sisters. We have to keep our eyes lifted up to heaven to see what the truth and reality is up there. And that's why all these visions are very often in heaven. And the Lord gives them to the seven churches because they're struggling. There's some of them going to prison. Some of them are going to die. Some of them are going through hard times. And the Lord is telling them all the time, look up to heaven. Hear the 24 elders. Hear what they're saying. And very often we have to come into the book of the Revelation. Maybe you get down. Maybe you get in a dark place. You get cast down. What do you have to do? You have to look up into the heavens. Set your affection and thoughts on things above. And that's what we've been doing tonight. The 24 elders were before God in heaven. And we're listening to them. So just listen to the words of the Lord. The time of the dead.